Our Father in heaven, we come into your presence because you have kept us alive today. You've kept us alive not for our purpose, but for yours. And as we listen to your word, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would grant to me the right words to say, and to those listening, a heart to listen, to understand, and to accept. When we leave this service, Father, let us leave with a desire to get closer to you through your Spirit. Lift us up now into your presence, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, reading from verse 1, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, Genesis chapter 12, reading from verse 1. And we have some more friends coming in. God bless you. Come right up. We have a lot of seats available. Genesis 12, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now there are two statements God made in verse 2 I want you to notice. Or one in verse 2, one in verse 3. He says in verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be" what? A blessing. Not a curse. When God called Abraham, he called him to be a blessing to other people. And verse 3 ends by saying, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." All families of the earth simply means all nations. It simply means the entire earth was to be blessed through Abraham. How many of you are children of Abraham? Can I see your right hand? That's right. Why are you a child of Abraham? Why? Are you Jews? Are you physical Jews? How are you a child of Abraham? By faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:29, "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's" what? "Seed and heirs according to the promise." We are the children of Abraham, and what God promised to Abraham is promised to us. What God expected of Abraham, he expects of us. Now let me repeat. God told Abraham, "Thou shalt be a blessing." And verse 3 ends, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." We must be blessings to other people. Loma Linda must be a blessing to the state of California. Can I have one amen? All right. You must be a blessing where you work. I must be a blessing where I go. That is one of the reasons that God calls people to Christ, to be blessings. He blesses us first, that we might then go and bless others. Now, he said that to Abraham, but I want us to look at the life of the great-grandson of Abraham, one of his great-grandsons, and see how he was a blessing at every level of his life. Because some Christians are not blessings where they are curses. The Bible says in Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the salt of the" what? "The earth." Verse 14, "Ye are" what? "The light of the world." Those are blessings. Let's go to Genesis 39 and look at the life of Abraham's great-grandson. Genesis 39, I hope all your cell phones are turned off. And I'd like to ask you, turn them off the ring mode, off the vibration mode, of all kinds of modes that could distract you. The vibration mode may only distract you, but that's all it may take to upset the Holy Spirit. So if you can turn them all off, that would be just fine. Genesis 39, reading from verse 1. We're looking at the life of Abraham's great-grandson, who was, in a very spectacular way, a blessing to others. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Verse 2 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And he found grace in his sight, and he served him." This is Joseph. "And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." Verse 5, "And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored." Let's look at that passage again. Genesis 39, 1 to 6. Joseph is sold into slavery. By whom? His brothers. He is bought by an Egyptian called Potiphar. He's an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, a fairly highly positioned man in Pharaoh's administration, possibly part of Pharaoh's personal bodyguard. Verse 2 tells us, "The Lord was with Joseph." Question 1. If you were sold into slavery, can you still be a Christian? I can't hear you when you nod your head. Can you still be a Christian? Yes. Is there any circumstance under which you can say to God, "These conditions are too difficult for me to be a child of yours"? No. The Lord was, and we shall see that this statement, "The Lord was with Joseph," is the theme of Joseph's life. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now, when the Lord is with you, someone has to notice. Or the Lord is not with you. Let me say that again, because you didn't understand. If you had understood, you would have said, "Amen." So you didn't understand. Let me tell you again. If God is truly with me, someone will notice. And I don't mean someone in the church. I mean someone outside of the church. You see, in the church, we all know what we're supposed to do. We all know how to play the game. How to dress, how to sit, how to talk, how to eat your vegetarian steaks. We know how to do what needs to be done. But the person in the world may not know. So when the person in the world recognizes that God is with you, then that is testimony to the fact that God is with you. Now, verse 3. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." Was Potiphar a Hebrew? No. What was he? An Egyptian. Egyptians worshipped all kinds of gods. The crocodile was a god. The cat was a god. The hawk was a god. The hyena was a god. The hippopotamus was a god. Just about everything that moved was a god. This was the environment in which Potiphar grew up. Potiphar was not a believer in the creator of heaven and earth. But Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. How many of you go to non-Seventh-day Adventist schools? Can I see your hands? Hands down. Do your friends at your schools see that the Lord is with you. Perhaps where you work, no one professes to be a Christian. Do your work colleagues see that the Lord is with you? It is a fundamental outcome of a relationship with God that the non-believer notices. I say the non-believer. If the non-believer does not notice your relationship with God, then I need to re-examine my relationship with God. Potiphar, he saw. You see, God has to find a way to make himself known. And the most effective way other than Jesus Christ is his working through our lives. And when God works effectively through our lives, people who know nothing about God will somehow conclude, God is with this man. God is with this woman. And Potiphar, that idol-worshipping soldier, he saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He saw something else. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You should be the best employee on your job. If you're a child of God, you should be the one your boss trusts the most. Because you operate on the basis of principles that perhaps are not common to your co-workers. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And consequently, in verse 4 we read, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and all that he had. And he made him overseer over his house. I'll show you a pattern in the life of the great-grandson of Abraham, as he is a blessing to Potiphar's house. Potiphar made this Hebrew slave the overseer over his house. Couldn't Potiphar find an Egyptian? Yes, but Potiphar could not find an Egyptian with the principles of Joseph. Potiphar could not find an Egyptian with the integrity of Joseph. And Potiphar made him overseer over his house. The verse ends by saying, and all that he had, he put into his hand. That's a blessing. Now verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord did what? Blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. A couple nights ago, I spoke at a church somewhere. Talked about indirect blessings. Potiphar was blessed for no reason of his own. Do you understand what I'm saying? God did not look down at Potiphar and admire his character and bless him. God looked down at Potiphar's house and saw Joseph and blessed Potiphar. Thou shalt be a blessing. If you're a Christian doctor and you're working with a non-believing colleague, when you leave the bedside of your patient ought to feel a little better because you were there with Jesus Christ. Potiphar did not know how blessed he was by having Joseph in his house. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. What did God say to Abraham? Thou shalt be a blessing. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Potiphar became a Hebrew. Listen to verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Notice the extent to which Potiphar trusted Joseph. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Now, Potiphar was a wealthy man. He had possessions, he had cattle, he had everything. The only thing he knew he had for certain was the food that was served to him. Everything else, his riches, his possessions, if the tax man or the auditor came to Potiphar and said, "How much money do you have?" What would Potiphar say? Ask Joseph. Because I don't know and I don't care as long as Joseph is in charge. Is that how you're trusted on your job? Potiphar didn't know what he had. All he knew is that Joseph knew, and that was good enough for him. This, when we are in conformity with God's will, when God is with us as he was with Joseph, verse 2 of Genesis 39, even those who don't believe realize, I can trust that man, I can trust that woman. Now that's in Potiphar's house. Let's change the scenario. You know the story, Potiphar's wife told a lie, Joseph ends up in prison. Let's go to verse 20 of chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. Verse 20. The Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Verse 21. Start that verse with me. But the Lord was with whom? Joseph. And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, let me stress something else God will do for you. Look at verse 21 again. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and did what? Gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. This is what God will do for us. Many times, we want people to make decisions in our favor. When you get your performance evaluation, I'm sure you want a raise. Perhaps you want your boss to let you off early on Fridays so you can keep the Sabbath. Or there's some other favor, or you're trying to get someone to sell you a piece of land, or you've got some land you want to build a house, but you need access to someone else's land. You want someone to do something for you, and the person is being stubborn. Ask God to do for you what he did for Joseph in Genesis 39:21. The Lord gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In other words, because of Joseph's faithfulness to God, God deliberately and directly touched the heart of the keeper of the prison and told him somewhere in his conscience, treat that man nicely. God did it for Joseph with Potiphar as well in verse 4. Verse 4 says, and Joseph found what? Grace in his sight. Same thing. God touched Potiphar's heart that Potiphar might treat Joseph with gloves of silk. Let me tell you something about God's ability to turn people's minds to suit your desires. When the Israelites left Egypt, they left with a lot of money. We know that. How do slaves escaping their slave masters leave with money? God touched the Egyptians' hearts, and the Egyptians, not even knowing what they were doing, began giving away money. Exodus 3:21, you don't need to turn there now. The Bible says, and I will give this people, the Israelites, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go out, ye shall not go out empty. God said, I will touch the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will just give you money. God can touch the heart of your boss to give you the raise you deserve. God can touch the heart of some city council member who's blocking the church's plan to extend a parking lot and give you permission to do that. Proverbs 21, verse 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will, meaning that the king, being the most powerful man on the earth in the days when that was written, God is saying, I can take the heart, the mind of the most powerful man on the earth and turn that man's heart to suit me or my people. Your teacher will not look at your paper a second time because you think you deserve a few more marks, points, whatever it is. You pray, Lord, touch that hard professor's heart and turn his heart in my favor. But that's a prayer for God's people, not for opportunists. And so the Lord gave him favor, verse 21, Genesis 39, in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, we learned in Genesis 39, verse 4, that Potiphar made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. That's verse 4. Because the Lord was with Joseph, verse 2. Now the Lord was with Joseph, verse 21. Listen to verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand most of the prisoners that were in the prison. Where did I go wrong? All. How much did Potiphar put in Joseph's hand? How much did the keeper of the prison put in Joseph's hand? All. Was the Lord with Joseph in Potiphar's house? Was the Lord with Joseph in the prison? Yes. Did Potiphar check on Joseph? No. Let's read verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Potiphar said, look, I don't care as long as Joseph is in charge. What did the keeper of the prison say? Same thing. As long as Joseph is in charge, I don't double check. What a tremendous privilege it is for your boss not to double check your work. What a privilege! The keeper of the prison, Genesis 39, 23, looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him three times. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He prospered in Potiphar's house. How do you prosper in prison? Joseph is a blessing to one household. Potiphar's house. Joseph is a blessing to a larger household, if you can call prison that, a larger population. He proved himself in Potiphar's house. Then God raised him by putting him into prison. He proved himself in the prison. Now God will take him higher. And the same thing Potiphar did, the same thing the keeper of the prison did, is the same thing Pharaoh will do. Let's go to chapter 41, verse 40. This is Pharaoh speaking after Joseph has explained the dreams. Pharaoh said, thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall most of my people be ruled. All. Look at verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, behold, I have set thee over. Say the word for me. All the land of Egypt. Look at verse 55 of chapter 41. The Bible says, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto most of the Egyptians, go where? Unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. Now, what does the word what mean there? It means whatsoever. Give me a small word for whatsoever. We've been saying it. All. Whatever this man says, don't ask him any questions. And I will bless, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let me tell you this very seriously, and then I'm done. Being a blessing to people is at the very heart of the gospel. Let me show you what I mean. I want you to find two verses. Keep one finger on Genesis 12, verse 3. The other finger on Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. One finger on Genesis 12, verse 3. The other finger on Galatians 3, verse 8. We read Genesis 12, verse 3. Let's just read the last part. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now let's go to Galatians 3, 8. And Paul is quoting this verse because I said being a blessing to others is at the very heart of the gospel. Here's what Paul writes in the book of Galatians. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach beforehand the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and in thee shall what? All nations be blessed. In that statement is the gospel. Because the greatest blessing we can be to others is to introduce them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The three angels' messages. The angel of Revelation 18, the loud cry angel. Because if you look at Galatians 3, verse 8, let's read it again. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would do what? Justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and in thee shall all families, all nations of the earth be blessed. Justify and blessed are the same thing in that verse. Our greatest blessing to our world is to tell them or to be the billboards that advertise the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You see, God is very, very predictable. And the way he functions is laid out in the Bible if we will search and scan and dig. God is extremely predictable, and that's not a slight against his omnipotence. Yes, there are some things God does I don't understand. But in the context of his relationship with me and his with you, God is very eager that you and I understand he is predictable, because if he's not predictable, we cannot trust him. You understand? Can't trust him. But his predictability is one of the reasons we can trust him, because we know if he says this, he's going to do it. If he lays out conditions, if he says, if you do that, I'll do that, we know this is what he will do. He functions predictably. One of the things God does when we are with him, he blesses us wherever we are. When we are with him and he with us, our lives become blessings to other people. When God is with us and we with him, other people see that, and their treatment of us changes. Do we get persecuted? Yes, I'm not denying that. But God is more eager to grant us blessings than persecution. Are you with me? God didn't put Christ on a cross that we might be cursed. God put Christ on a cross, we may be blessed. Yes, this world will soon pass away. We understand the world does not like the child of God. But even in this sin-sick world, God's desire is to bless, not curse. Because if all God did was curse, who would want to serve God? We look at one man quickly and see a similar thing in his life. Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 6. We'll read from verse 1. What time is it? Huh? 5 to 5. Daniel 6, reading from verse 1. The Bible says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now, did Daniel come as a slave to that country? Yes. Just like Joseph. You know, we always give excuses why we can't get ahead. Well, I am from the wrong ethnic group. I am black, or I am white, or I'm pinstriped, or polka dot. So I can't get ahead. I don't have social contacts. What social contacts did Joseph have other than God? Come on, say something. What social contacts did Daniel have? Look at verse 3, Daniel 6. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. He was preferred because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over most of the realm. Is that what happened to Joseph? Yes. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, inasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now this is a remarkable verse. When the presidents, there were 3 of them, Daniel was one of them, the other 2, and the 120 princes. So that's 122 people against one man. You like those odds? Now, these were the rulers of the country, so they had access to all the classified files. They had search engines no one else had. So they began to examine Daniel's background, looking for one fault. And they began to scan his work record, his personnel files and human resources. And they looked and they searched. The Bible says they could not find fault with his work and they could not find fault with his person. Whew. How would you like that to happen to you? People search. You know, when I was coming here to speak, I think it was Dr. Ellie who told me, we have to do a background search on you. I started to panic. Lord, I'm not perfect. What's he going to find? Obviously, they found nothing. Mountainous. Maybe a couple of molehills, no mountains. So here I am. But he said, we have to do a background check. I said, my goodness, what kind of people am I coming to speak to? This has never happened to me before. FBI check before this man comes and preaches to Adventists. But they did that for Daniel. And what was their conclusion? Verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find what? Any occasion against Daniel. None. How would you like to be professionally and personally without fault? Let the Lord be with you. There was no fault found with Joseph either. Potiphar put him in prison. Well, if a man's wife is accused, the husband has to put the person accused somewhere in some sort of prison. There was no fault with Joseph in his person or in his work. That's because the Lord was with Joseph and the Lord was with Daniel. What did Jesus say? Which of you convinceth me of what? Sin. Which of you? None. No fault with his personal life, no fault with his work as the Son of God. This is something we must long for. When Daniel was put in prison in the lion's den, and Darius came early in the morning, "Daniel, are you okay?" Daniel said, "Yes." Darius was shocked. Daniel said, "Look, God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth because I was without fault before you and before him." That's what Daniel said. But that's not a stunning thing. The Bible says that 144,000, they are without what? Fault. And if you are without fault before God, you are without fault before man, no matter what he says. But the Lord must be with us. Whether you're 90 or 9, the principle is the same. When God is with us, God directs and controls, deals with our enemies, removes obstacles, and allows some just for the development of our character. God is responsible for all those who come against us when we are with God. How many of you can say, "The Lord is with me"? Can I see your hands? Some of you must be able to say it. It's the safest way to live your life. The Lord is with me. As he was with Joseph and Daniel. Let me tell you something about God. And I've gone over 5. I've broken my word. Forgive me. God is no respecter of persons, meaning he does not play favorites. What he did for Joseph, he wants to do for you. Because it's to his advantage. What he did for Daniel, he wants to do for you. He doesn't love Daniel more than he loves you. But do you trust him as much as Daniel did? Early in his life, Daniel had made up his mind, "I am not disgracing God." Remember when they wanted him to eat some pigs and whatever else? Daniel did what? He purposed in his heart. He didn't say, he purposed. That is a different word. He made an irreversible decision. He purposed. Isaiah 14, 26 or 27, "The Lord of hosts have purposed, and who can disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?" In other words, when God purposes, no one can change it. Daniel purposed, and not even the threat of death could change his decision. Now, when that is the way you feel about God, God jumps right in. And God will do everything for you. Ellen White said, God is ready to send how many angels from heaven? All. If that's what it takes to defend you. How many chariots were sent to defend Elisha? Was the hill just full of chariots? Yes. When the Lord opened the servant's eyes, he saw chariots all over the hills. What does John say in 1 John? "For greater is he that is what? In you. Than he that is in the world." I leave with you an appeal as your brother in Christ. Let the theme of Joseph's life be yours. Genesis 39:2, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Genesis 39:21, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Genesis 39:23, "Because the Lord was with Joseph." How many of you will say with me, "Lord, help me to walk with you closely, day by day"? Let me see your hand. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We have no other name through which to come. We come, Lord, because you have promised us that if we come boldly to the throne of grace, we shall find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And now is a time of need. You are a God who is described as the same yesterday, today, and forever. The remarkable way you led Joseph, you desire to lead us, and even higher as we approach the end of the earth's history. But the problem, Lord, is never you. It is us and our partial surrender to you, our half-hearted commitment to you, our sort of layaway approach to serving you. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our indifference and that you would place upon our hearts now the consciousness that we need you in our lives. Not only that our lives may be safe on this side, but we may be safe when Jesus comes to destroy. Bless every man, every woman, every person under the sound of your manservant's voice. And Father, we pray that wherever we go, in the classroom, on the hospital wards, on the job, on the playground, on the airplane, we may be a blessing to those around us. And when you come, dear God, save us that we may enjoy the blessing of your presence forever. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.